It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
All right, today's guest, Steve Larson, host of Sales Funnel Radio, probably my favorite podcast at the moment. He drops so much value and so much knowledge. I was actually fortunate enough to meet him in person back in May in Boise, and it was a network marketing event. It was kind of like he was teaching us everything he knows about marketing for network marketing, and it was an awesome event. So Steve Larson, I know you're busy. Thank you so much for coming on. And yeah, so for those who don't know Steve Larson, he was the lead funnel builder for ClickFunnels for what, 2 years or so?
Yeah, it's almost two years.
Can you walk us through like how you got to that moment? Because your story is a lot like a lot of struggling entrepreneurs, but you finally made it. So tell us a little bit about your story.
Honestly, it was a long road. It has to be at least 12 to 13 just straight utter business failures or a few break-evens, a 3 or 4 year period. And then I started learning about this thing called funnels and went to an event that Russell was throwing called Funnel Hacking Live, and was fluid enough inside their software already, they offered me a job. So, and I was going for a support role at ClickFunnels. I had no idea that they were asking me to do what they were.
Yeah, so I know your story basically like inside and out because I've been following you for like a year, but what sticks out to me is how you bootstrapped your way to it. Like you took that leap of faith and went, but you made the most out of it. So what fears were you having? I know like a lot of times when people are like, they live in that fear of taking action. You actually you faced your fear and took action, and it changed your life. So that was really cool. What do you think is the most important aspect of actually taking that action and going?
I think people need to be able to identify what they're trying to solve. I think the thing that screws people a lot up is that they just don't – like they're running, and they are moving, and there's the semblance of motion, but they feel like their wheels are spinning because they have no idea what problem they're trying to solve.
Right.
And they have no idea if do I need to work on myself at this moment? Am I going to build a business? What is the specific thing that I'm going to build this business around? And it like anchors the individual. Because literally every single time I've ever launched a funnel, a business, a product, anything, ever, for myself, for Russell or his clients, for ClickFunnels, like any time ever, there is always a just as good, if not better, temptation, shiny object that pops up the moment I take the first step. And so people start equating the number of opportunities that they have with how important and how valuable they are. And so they'll take all these opportunities. Yes, I'll take that. They go all over the place. And because of that, they don't get any traction. And they're like, how come nothing's working? It's like, because you've worked one plan on the first step, that's it, for 13 different businesses. Right? There's no way you can actually get any kind of traction like that. And so I think that's one of the biggest takeaways. It's like I heard Robert Kiyosaki say once, someone walked up to me once and said, hey, you want this financial thing? And he was in real estate. And he goes, no, it's not my plan. And he goes, no, it's like guaranteed, man. Like, we're giving you like some cool options and plans and financial things that no one else is getting. He's like, that's cool. It's just not my plan. He's like, are you serious? Like, we're going to give you a percentage of the company as you do this. That's awesome. That is not my plan. You know, and I first learned that from him. And I've constantly had to re-practice that. And every entrepreneur I knew has had to do that because it pretty soon, once you get good at saying no to everything on the outside, you have to start saying no to all your other ideas as well. I'm like, okay, good idea. Not now. All right, good idea. Yeah. Not now. And tabling them, shelving them. And I think focusing on the one question of how can I get as far as I can in the next 24 hours, you know, is the thing that will propel everybody. And you run as hard as you can. Everyone's got the same amount of time. And so for 24 hours, like what I do today determines where I'm going to be the next and the next and the next and the next. And so because of that, I sprint, you know, and it's a ton of fun. And there was a flight I was on. I was flying to some, I don't remember where I was going, but I was speaking somewhere. And I had on the way back, and I remember writing this down in my notebook and trying to answer this question in as many creative ways as I could. I was trying to answer the question, how can I increase my speed? Because, like, if I know that people are doing it in that industry, and I'm not, I'm the variable. Like, I'm the issue. And most of the time, like, money loves speed. So how can I have speed with this game? Which usually means they need to divorce perfection and usually means to get some help. That's where people have a hard time letting go.
Yeah, and taking imperfect action and focusing on... I like what you said on the One Funnel Away Challenge, focusing on the who... not the how. And that's a lot of, that's a problem that I struggled with for so long, is trying to, you know, as launching businesses and everything, try to, okay, I need to do Facebook ads. Now I need to learn how to do this. Now I need to learn how to do SEO. I need to learn how to, you know, create an ebook. So it's like focusing on the who, not the how. But you get a lot of things done. Do you have like a morning routine?
Ish. And there are times when I'm really good at it and times where I'm just, it doesn't even exist. So I had an event a little bit ago, and like when event time is coming up or things, like the whole morning routine goes out the window. I work from home, my home office here. A lot of times I will sleep on the office floor, roll over and keep going. It's totally obsessive, but whatever, it works. So as far as a morning routine though, like, and to keep myself like in check, I do have a few mechanisms that I've learned to like put myself in state. Music is one of them. Certain kinds of music. In fact, there was a little experiment I did with myself. It was probably 5-6 years ago, where I had a specific playlist I would only listen to during certain activities or whatever. Mm-hmm. And for this particular one, it was exercise. So I would never listen to these songs unless I was exercising. I did that for like a year, and it turned into like the whole, you know, dog salivating with their bell.
Yeah, Pavlov. Yeah.
Because like a year in, I started listening to. While I was sitting in a class or a library, and I noticed suddenly I like started sweating and I started breathing hard. I was like, what is going on? So I totally believe in state control. Like, half the way to get a lot of this stuff done, like, you're like, man, you guys work so hard. Like, yeah. But you start, like, it doesn't feel like work. And a lot of it is because of the way that we do a lot of the state control stuff. So I will listen to a lot of music. I love exercising in the morning, especially in the morning. My head, I have found, is more fresh from about 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., so I do all my hardest tasks during that time of the day. I do all the little micro tasks that are still important, you know, and those are the ones I do in the afternoon. Yeah. That's typically how I run it.
So you're talking about music. There is a band, Perpetual Groove, put on a song called Teakwood Betts. Boom! It's awesome. It's amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah,
that's a trigger?
yeah, really, it is. I like what you're saying about state control. That's something that me and Chris have struggled with a lot. Is like, I know that I go into a work, or if I'm doing a task and like my energy is low and I'm putting that energy out, that's what's going to come back to me. So it's like taking that action and get into what my coach calls inspired action. Because when you're inspired and you want to take action, that's the energy you put out, that energy is going to come back to you.
I love it. Totally.
Yeah, totally.
Hey man, let me catch my breath. You guys jumped into it so fast for me, and the audience, man. Let's pause.
Get excited, man! I don't
tell us who you are. Give us a little bit of your backstory, some of your professional background. I know you mentioned you've started a bunch of different businesses, but let's get into a little bit of who you are and what you actually do and stuff.
Yeah, I build sales funnels. Sales funnels is a simple way to sell things. Online or offline, everything's online. It's very much both. Everyone, if you've ever sold anything ever, you have a sales funnel. But most people's sales funnels suck because they don't build it with intent. And so what I am known as is a funnel builder. So depending on the industry, the product, price point, stuff like that, this is the funnel that would best serve or build or deliver or sell your thing. So whether or not you're selling online or on a stage or over the phone, high ticket sales or whatever, there's proven ways, kind of like, you know, tire on a car. You're not going to reinvent the concept of it, but there's a certain one that works best for the scenario you're in. So that's what I do, and that's what I'm known for. I worked for a company called ClickFunnels for about 2 years, and you probably all mostly have heard of it. they're kind of taking a marketplace by storm.
Yeah.
And my wife and I got married. We had nothing, you know. And I didn't know anybody in this world. I didn't know this world existed. Yeah, I just knew that I needed to make money. One day I came home and found out that she'd only been eating one meal a day. And that wrecks you. That wrecks you as a human being, but especially as a man, especially as a husband, to find out. And we'd only been married a little bit. And it destroyed all my semblance of self-esteem. Like, there was a lot of self-work I had to go through to get out of that. Because, like, it was rough. So I started looking for ways to get money. Found out I could get student loans, which is really easy in America. And I asked my dad to float us some cash until it showed up, and he told me no. And he said, no, if I give you this money, you're not going to exhaust resources you didn't know you had. And it was extremely wise for him to say that to me. And so I'm the oldest of six kids. And later, since then, I've talked to him about it. And he's like, yeah, I just knew that I needed to deal with you in that manner. I was like, all right, cool. He's like, you're that kind of son. You were that kind
of
kid.
That's very wise, yeah.
But what's cool is it started firing with no bailout. The money's not going to come up for student loans for a while. The current jobs we were getting were $3 an hour. If I worked even three jobs full time, we would not have enough money to live. Back was truly against the wall. And in those moments, we find ourselves. And so I did. And every time somebody's like, well, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough whatever. Like, I hear them, I also don't believe them. And a little bit of the tough love comes out in that, and I'm kind of known for that as well. I yell a lot in my podcasts and my courses, which you guys probably know. Yeah. But it's because I want people to like wake up inside themselves and realize, like, your body and your mind are capable of way more than you are using it for. Yeah. And so when we voluntarily place ourselves in the corners of our lives and put our backs against the wall and put ourselves in scenarios, like, I asked my sister once, she wanted to come to an event, and she didn't have enough money for it. And she goes, well, Stephen, I'm at this point right now, I could either pay for the ticket or I could buy food for the next month. She said, what should I do? And I said, I know this is going to sound extreme, and I'm not going to make a decision for you, but I'm going to ask you one question. If you were to spend your money on the next months of groceries, will you find a way to make it to that event you know will help you? She's like, probably not. I said, okay, let's say you go buy a ticket to that event. Are you going to find a way to not starve? Mm. She said, yeah. I said, that's extreme, but how bad do you want it? And she did it. It worked, and it's great. She's got this awesome, very successful business now. And but it's that mentality. I feel like people just get really soft now, you know? So I started running after my dad told me that. And I tried all these businesses, tons of them. I ended up running into this thing called funnels. At the time, I was a traffic driver for Paul Mitchell in college. And the teachers had no idea what I was doing, me and this other kid. But they knew we were being successful with it. So Paul Mitchell came to the school and said, who do you know? And they're like, these two kids, we don't know, but talk to them. And so they handed us off to him. Yeah. And I could get all these eyeballs to the Paul Mitchell pages. We were sending so much traffic, it was ridiculous, but none of it was converting. And to show you how green I was in this game, I had no idea that I needed to study this thing called conversion. Yeah. Like, I was just getting eyeballs to pages. You know, I was so green. I'm literally the most unlikely success story ever. And that's the other reason I get really passionate about the game. So what happened was I started learning about funnels. Saw that Russell had an event coming up. This guy named Russell Brunson. And I couldn't afford it. I was in the Army. We were living on loans. I was in college. We were married, had a kid. Life was busy. But I was still trying to find ways to squeeze out an extra 3 hours a day to just build a business. But I knew ultimately that would be the parachute that saved us. Not getting a job, getting a job freaked me out. I don't have the personality for that anyway. And so, anyway, I went and started bootstrapping my way to his event. Couldn't afford it. I was like, what can I do? What asset do I own or whatever? And I didn't know how to really build funnels at the time, but I was like, what if I started building funnels for plane tickets or funnels for hotel nights or funnels for event tickets? And that's exactly what happened. And it worked. And I would go and I'd tell these guys, I knew it was possible because other people were building funnels. Like, I knew they existed, but I didn't know how to do them. Yeah. But I saw ClickFunnels and the power of it and knew I didn't need to be a coder. So I would go promise these things that I knew were possible There's like a pro to this, and there's also a really like a huge danger.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, hey, here's this super cool funnel. You want me to build it? They go like, yeah, I don't even know what that is. I'm like, yeah, I barely know how to explain it either, but I'm gonna do it. And if it works, why don't we talk about me getting paid or a ticket to that event? They'd be like, oh, all right. And I would go and I'd send 2 to 3 support tickets into ClickFunnels every day for at least a year. That's how they knew I was when I showed up.
Oh, wow.
I'd get that guy. And I would ask the question, like, how do I change background color? I mean, I was so green, yeah. So green in the game. And when I showed up, bootstrapped my way there, you know, I told myself, I will do whatever this man tells me to do, but I will never publish. I will never this. I will never that. I will never that. Like, and I was unwilling to put my back against the wall again. So that's where most people...
Yeah,
that's the quick and dirty backstory.
Speaking of publishing, your podcast, Sales Funnel Radio, how has that helped or changed your business?
Honestly, now I look at it as the business. Mm. Like I'm a funnel builder, but if I don't publish, no one has a clue that I exist. And it's the same for every business that's out there. It was like, I heard a stat like 20 years ago, average person saw like 500 ads and advertisements a day and brands. Now it's like 5,000 and the attention span's gone from 20 minutes to like 6 seconds or something like that.
Yeah.
If you're not talking, no one knows you're there.
So it's the whole Gary Vaynerchuk, become the media personality, become the media company.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yep, I am first a media company and then Stephen Larson.
Yeah.
What's the most important thing in a successful sales funnel? Would you say it's the copy? Would you say it's the just the process of dragging them through, or is that all kind of interrelated?
What I found, when I was at ClickFunnels, I was listening to Russell talk and pitch and speak and coach to all of his inner circle members, and I was sitting literally, you know, that far away from him. We sat back to back, and I had 2 monitors there that reflected my image back into his face. I always felt like he was looking at me, which made me really nervous. Like, I always make sure something was on the screen so he could see me. But I was sitting there, and I remember after like 3 or 4 months, I turned around right after he got off the call with one of his inner circle members, and I was like, dude, do you realize, like, you're like saying the same thing to every person? He goes, I know. Isn't that crazy? I was like, yeah, it is crazy. And I was like, you know, and we came up with the idea to have a course that people could go through before they get to Russell, so that he could take it from here to here instead of, you know, here to here. Like, huge difference there for him, mental bandwidth wise too. It's much harder. And as we started building the program, I went through 12 years of his content, and I went through, it was a lot, it took me 6 months, and I started indexing it. In order to do this, you really should know that. In order to know that, there's really these 3 things. And I started putting it in an order. And we created this program that was the program that put me in the 2 Comma Club, which is the 2 Comma Club coaching program. And it made 1 million in 3 weeks. It was super fast. And it was like, but I was the only coach to 675 students. And so I had a really cool chance to see people who are just starting out or already, you know, in existence, and the patterns in what they struggled with. So it's cool you asked that question, because like I love that question. It's the like, and then I became the one funnel away coach, and that was 7,500 people, and I was the only coach. And then we did 2 Comma Club X again, and it was another 600, and I have my own programs with thousands in it. And it's been fun for me. That's really where I love. It's podcasting and coaching. Those are really my business. And the biggest things that I see people struggle with, hands down, easily, is they have no idea how to sell. They have no. They think the sales funnel is the sales machine, and it's not. It's just a delivery mechanism. It's the thing that puts it out in front of the person's eyeballs and into their ears. The biggest thing that people struggle with is they don't understand at all that what sells things is the sales message. But they fixate on the product. It's really interesting. I did the same thing too. I'm not throwing rocks at anybody, but like, they're like, oh, my product has to be incredible, has to be amazing, right? And they believe, a lot of the network marketers are very much that way. It's like, let me take my product and go hand it off to people and be like, you know, what's the pitch? Well, yeah. This product's so good, it sells itself. Like, you basically just have to get it in people's hands. And it's garbage.
Yeah.
That's garbage for every industry. Like, there's very few products in existence that have ever been that way. Steve Jobs with the iPod, the first time walking out, 1,000 songs in your pocket. Like, that product could have sold itself probably, but he still had a very short but amazing sales message. 1,000 songs in your pocket. What? Like, yeah. Very few products have ever sold themselves. That's not what makes a sale. But people are so like, what should I sell? What should I sell? What should I sell? And it's a question that haunts them. And like, if they give into it, they will never sell anything. Instead, it's actually the exact opposite. What I do is I focus on helping people create a sales message. That's what makes the dollars come. And when you do that, then you can go in and build the product to fulfill on the message and the promise that your sales script made. And that approach to it, a lot of success stories came from that. A lot of Qigong winners have come from that. Because otherwise, it's like, you just spin your wheels. Yeah. My product must not be good enough. No, you suck at selling, yeah. You know? And like, well, I don't know ClickFunnels enough. It has almost nothing to do with that. We ran the first top 100, is the top 100 funnels in ClickFunnels. And we looked through the top 100 of them. And we started looking through them. I'm not joking, like 95 of the 100, and these are all like multi-million dollar funnels. 95 of the 100, but ugly. Like putrid, disgusting looking funnels. It has nothing to do with the way that it looks, like your ability in the ClickFunnels editor. But your product needs to be amazing, but it's so powerful, you could sell a crappy product and make a ton of money if you just know how to sell stuff and make a sales message. Which don't do that, obviously, yeah. But that's the power of it when you learn it.
Yeah, and you kind of said earlier, it's like the sales message, before you even have a product, you can start selling the sales message or come up with the perfect sales message. Then you create the product to fulfill it. Because I know you had talked a lot about in the past creating a product, spending all these weeks and months creating a product to have nobody buy it. Oh, yeah.
Sucks.
And then, like, who can use a funnel? Like, when you say product, are you talking about widgets? I mean, can these be books? Can these be services that people provide? Like, who can use a funnel? Pretty much everyone, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. Anyone. We built a – it was really fun. We did a project with Robert Kiyosaki, Tony Robbins stuff. I had the opportunity to build five it was a ton of fun. Did you ever see the TV show on CNBC called The Prophet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you see the Flex Watches one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, there's this watch company, or there was another one for dog food, or another one for shoes called Ika's or something. I can't remember what it is now. But there's another one for toilet paper for Good Sam.
Yeah.
We built a toilet paper funnel. We built tons of them. We built one for tape once, 3x the revenue in 3 days. It was ridiculous.
For tape, like packing tape or scotch tape or something?
Yeah, like repair tape. Like it doesn't matter what you're selling. If you sold anything ever, you have a funnel. Yeah. And people don't know that. And they don't understand why they had the sale and what caused the sale. And if you just understand that, like, I always know, there's always like the same three levers I can go in and turn and they will make more money. And that's been the fun part about my role now with, like, as a coach at ClickFunnels, as these new people come in. And I'm just going to be open to be like honest. I thought when I became a two-company coach, we all thought that I would be coaching people on marketing principles. No, yeah, right, 100%, right? Like, I'm not. Like, 80% of the time, I can't get people past their own head. We can't even get to the marketing stuff. And so, like, the shift in belief. Yeah. And understanding that has nothing to do with the product. Like, it needs to be good. It has everything to do with the sales message, regardless of what you sell, whether you're collecting leads or the point of sales on the internet or on a, you know, on the stage or whatever. The sales principle, because it's behavioral psychology. That's what marketing is. The more you understand why people make decisions, the better marketer you'll be. It has nothing to do with your you know, logo, your slogan, your, mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't even have one of those forever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like I got this from you, but it's all storytelling. You know, you told the story about the American flag, and we actually have a very similar story with that. It's like, how much is a retail American flag? You know, it's like $10 or something. But the story behind it, you know, it's like, you know, when I went to Iraq, I had this flag flown over, you know, over Iraq on an official mission. I got the certificate, and that raises the value of the flag.
Yeah, it's so cool.
But
hey, what's the best I'm sorry.
I'll say no, people think price and value are the same thing. They are not.
Yeah.
It's like price is set by the seller, but value is set by the buyer. And your perception of price is not their perception of value. So when, like, there's a handyman that came in a little while ago, and he was like, hey, I'm sorry, man. This electrical work's gonna, it's gonna be like, I'm so sorry. Like, I thought it was gonna be like this much. Dude, I can't do it cheaper than like $300. And I was like, it's totally fine. Like, yeah. I'm not, the value of me not shocking myself, I'm not gonna go learn that.
You know? Right, yeah.
His perception.
Yeah.
You know, it was, he thought it was the same thing.
And that,
like,
and
we do that with our products. And so, when someone's like, there was some, I'm not gonna name any names, but there was a friend who was talking to another friend who said, yeah, oh, it's so cool, I had a $6,000 day today. And friend two said, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Like, are you in something kind of crazy? Is this something, do we need to talk? You know, they got really nervous and concerned for friend number one.
Yeah.
And friend number two has no idea about this whole relationship between price and value. Just because it's not worth that much to that person, someone else, that solution could change their whole business or life. And those are the fun products I love to go sell. I don't necessarily love selling tape or toilet paper.
Yeah.
but that's
a struggle that, you know, like most entrepreneurs have, is like, oh, it's not worth it. They're not going to buy that. And it's all in your head. That's what I've learned as far as with coaches and stuff. That's what they told me.
What's the best point of entry for a sales funnel? Is it like a website or Facebook ads? Like, did you run Facebook ads on toilet paper and tape? Like, how did all that work? You did?
Yeah.
You had a face.
You gotta get eyeballs on it.
Awesome, man. Yeah. That thing was crazy. We were comparing what you're looking for, but I don't want to go like too deep into it or whatever, but like it was crazy because we started comparing numbers between the funnel that was selling the tape, the Amazon store that was selling the tape, Etsy, all these, Shopify. You know, after like a year, it's kind of cool. I was able to get a sneak peek of the data and I was looking at it. What's the potential average cart value of a $9.95 thing on Amazon?
$9.95.
Like, what's the potential that someone could actually spend on Amazon for a $9.95 thing? $9.95, yeah. Roughly $10, right? It can't go above $10. You know, it can't. And because of that, how much can you spend to acquire a customer? $10. The reason, and it was cool because we were seeing that across. In fact, I think the tape thing was like $25. It was a specialized thing, but it was. And so on Amazon, Shopify, maybe they weren't on Etsy, but it was cool because we could see over like a year, the actual data showed that the cart value across all of it was no more than the product price itself, but. With ClickFunnels, because there's some upsells and downsells, stuff like that, the potential average cart value, I mean, if they bought everything inside the funnel, they would spend like $700. Mm. And so because of that, the average person coming on through, we're making $10. We're making an average of like $17. But that extra $7 is what we go dumping back in ads. Now you're speaking faster, harder, louder than every other one else in your competition profitably. And that is ridiculous when you start pulling that off. That's the value of funnels and actually do it with intent.
Yeah. All right. Well, Steve, thanks so much for, I know you got to run. Thanks so much for joining us. How can people get in touch with you or follow you?
So I built a program that I put it out there because I want to help people understand that their product is not the thing that does the selling. So I built a program. It's free. It's completely free. It's called Affiliate Outrage. Affiliateoutrage.com. What it is I love affiliate marketing and the MLM space because I feel like it's a great place for training wheels for marketing. You don't have to get distracted about the creation of the product. You don't have to get distracted about, is it going to be this or that or whatever. Just because somebody else made the product doesn't mean you get to not think about the marketing. But that's the advantage of like affiliates or MLMs and stuff like that. I don't have to worry about the fulfillment or all that stuff. Let me just go practice and flex my marketing muscles. And so that's why I built Affiliate Outreach. That was the reason right there, actually.
Yeah.
So if they want, it's a free program. Drips out to them. Or they can unlock it all. But it's affiliateoutreach.com and practice flexing.
There you go. All right, Steven. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, dude. Thanks so much, guys.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.